In 2011, Niall Doherty decided to take a trip around the world without using aeroplanes. As you get to know Niall, you realise that this way of thinking isn't unusual for him. Even when he was a kid growing up in Waterford, he would do things just a little bit differently. Instead of following GAA like everyone else, he was obsessed with basketball. And instead of the Chicago Bulls or the New York Knicks, he followed the Charlotte Hornets. I hadn't heard of them either.
Yeah, a lot of people haven't. That was the team I picked because I didn't want to be like everybody else. The teenage dream kind of became to go and live in the United States someday and have season tickets for my favorite team. And I eventually managed to do that age 25. I found a company in New Orleans to sponsor my visa and went and lived and worked in New Orleans for 3 years, started stalking the team and got a media credential through ESPN because I started a website about the team and started writing about the team. So ended up sitting courtside at games at the media table and going into the locker room and interviewing all the players and coaches and just living my teenage dream, like, all out.
That's incredible.
It was amazing.
In addition to being a part-time super fan, Niall had a regular full-time job, working 9-to-5 as a web designer in New Orleans. But after working for 3 years, Niall decided that he wanted to work for himself and travel the world. So he left the 9-to-5 job and hit the road.
I mean, I was overly optimistic about how easy it would be to make money working for myself on the internet while traveling the world. You know, a lot of people will tell you it's easy, and it rarely is. The first 3 months, 3 to 6 months, were amazing in terms of I'd really just figured it all out, and I knew something other people didn't know. And that's because I was, you know, still had savings and it wasn't under pressure to make money. Yeah, at a certain point during that first year, I realized, okay, I need to start making money. Like this, you know, just blogging for money thing, you know, build it and they will come, wasn't working. So I was lucky in a way because I already had the skill of web design and I knew if I had to, I can always freelance that. So I was able to start doing that as my big round-the-world trip.
Niall's big round-the-world trip was an audacious plan to circumnavigate the world without using aeroplanes.
I think I was just trying to think of ways to make it more interesting and make it like more of an adventure, more of a challenge, more of a story.
It took him 4 years. He visited 37 countries. He started off in his hometown, Waterford, in Ireland. He traveled across Europe and into the Middle East.
You know, I ended up in Iran, for example. And
really?
Yeah, I spent 10 days in Iran, which were quite the adventure.
What happened there?
Well, the thing you should know about Iran is none of your bank cards will work there. I didn't know that when I went there. So I arrived in Tehran. Had $100 in my pocket. I thought I had a 30-day visa, but it turned out, Connor, I only had a 7-day visa. So suddenly I was in the position of being in Iran, which is a supposedly hostile country. I couldn't afford a ticket to leave the country, and I was in danger of my visa expiring. Then I was going to be in trouble with the Iranian authorities, which not really people you want to be getting in trouble with. What I ended up doing was basically asking lots of strangers for help. I went on a website called Couchsurfing. Often it's used, you know, where you go to a city somewhere and you log on to Couchsurfing and say, hey, does anybody have a spare room or a couch where I could crash? It's like Airbnb, but it's no money changes hands. So I went on Couchsurfing and went to the groups for Tehran, and there was a few people in there, and told them my situation and asked for help. And a bunch of people offered to host me. I ended up staying with a few of them. And I remember like the last day, my last day in Iran, I got off a bus in a town called Bandar Abbas in the south of Iran. And I had 36 hours to kill before the ferry. I bought a ticket for a ferry that was going to go to Dubai and I'd be able to use my bank cards again. And all I had was $5 and a phone number to get me through the 36 hours. And the phone number came from a guy I'd met in Tehran who said, if you end up in this town, give my friend a call. So the $5 was enough for a really bad hotel for tonight or food for the next 36 hours, but I couldn't afford both. So I gave the number a call, and the guy who answered said, oh, sorry, I'm not in town right now, but I'll put you in touch with another friend of mine. So this is now the friend of a friend of a guy I'd met in Tehran. And this guy basically takes an afternoon off work, comes and meets me. So he picks me up, he buys me lunch, he drives me around the city, you know, telling me about his city, drops me at the house of another friend of his. And I stay in that house for the night, and they are just, like, Iranian people are just unbelievably just warm and kind-hearted. That guy who had picked me up the day before came back the next morning, took more time off work, dropped me to the ferry terminal, and, you know, just said goodbye. Like, didn't ask for anything in return. Just like, okay, now you're good. All the best. That was the closest I came, really, to, like, the worst-case scenario. I mean, when you think, would you like to go to Iran with $100 in your pocket and not be able to use the ATM? You know, you'd be like, that sounds like a nightmare. And it turned out to be easily one of the best experiences I've ever had.
After Iran, Niall travelled through the Middle East and into Asia. He crossed the Pacific Ocean from Japan to Peru on a cargo ship. It took him 26 days and he was the only passenger, just him and 33 employees of the French cargo ship company. He had his own cabin, double bed, couch, bathroom, there was even a gym on board. He had a 3-course lunch and dinner every day cooked for him by the onboard French chef.
I mean, I was excited. I mean, to me, that was the one of the biggest challenges. I felt like, you know, how am I going to get across the Pacific Ocean? And then when I was finally doing it, I was quite excited that, okay, now I'll be going to the Americas. I've left Asia and there's this whole other continent now to explore and to have adventures in. So I was quite excited about it. And
how much did it cost?
It worked out in total to about 4,000 euros.
What, to get a boat?
Yeah, to be on a cargo ship for 26 days.
That surprises me. I would have thought it'd be less expensive than a plane ticket.
Yeah, most people do. I assume the same myself. But it's actually much cheaper and faster to fly. I wouldn't do it again. I'm glad I did it. It was a great one-time experience. But when you think of the actual benefits of doing it, the main benefit really is there's a lot of solitude. But if you really want that, you're better off just renting a cabin in the woods or something. It'd be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it's like...
Of course, I know what you're thinking. I was thinking the same thing too. 26 days at sea on a big ship. I'd want to do it too.
Did you have a Leonardo DiCaprio moment at the front of the ship?
I did. But yeah, you could go right up to the front of the ship and lean out over it and do the whole King of the World thing with, you know, in the middle of the biggest ocean with nothing around for thousands of miles.
What did that feel like?
Oh, it is. Well, it's hard to comprehend. You know, it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that, I mean, we passed over the Mariana Trench, which is the deepest part of the ocean. Like, that's further below the surface of the ocean, the bottom there, than Mount Everest is above the surface of the ocean. Like, you could fit Mount Everest underneath the Pacific Ocean there and still have, like, a kilometer above it of water.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, it's the scale of the thing is just incredible. And the fact that we had to, like, spend 2 weeks just to get across it, like, without seeing anything, really. Just never-ending water. Like, I mean, it's scary when you think if something happened and you were stranded out there, like, the chances of anyone finding you, even if they were looking for you specifically, are just so remote. So it gives you, like, a real appreciation for how insignificant we are, really. Yeah, and the stars, you know, with no light pollution out there, are just as spectacular as you'd see them. And the sunsets as well. Like, one of the most amazing sunsets I've ever seen was we crossed the equator between Ecuador and the Galapagos Islands. We kind of went in between those. And I remember that night when right as we crossed the equator, the sun was going down and the whole sky was just lit up, just amazing. And it was dolphins dancing on the waves along the side of the boat as well. So it was just It's like, wow, it's incredible.
Man. How has traveling affected friendships and relationships, you know, because you're kind of hopping from place to place?
It's kind of the big unanswered question. And I don't think there is a good solution to it. I remember the loneliest I felt, because I did this 4-year trip around the world without flying. And the first few years of that was great. It was all a big adventure. And the last year of it, I did feel quite lonely at times. And I kind of just wanted it to be finished. Like, I used to think real loneliness was when you were alone in some strange place and you had nobody to hang out with. But what I found was when I went back to New Orleans near the end of my trip. And so I'd been away. I used to live in that city for 3 years. And it was really the last place I'd considered home before I began my more travel lifestyle. And I went back there after a 5-year absence, thinking, finally, I'll be among my old friends, people who know me. I'll feel like I belong somewhere again. I'd been away for 5 years, and I'd changed a lot. And all my friends there had moved on with their lives and had 5 years of shared experiences together that I'd missed out on. So they didn't really know me anymore, and I didn't really know them. The loneliest feeling really is being in a crowd of people who all know each other, and they don't really know you, and you don't really know them. And you just, that's when you feel the most lonely. That was pretty tough. And I mean, what I've tried to transition into now since I finished that trip is having more of a home base. You know, if you go back to the same place for 4 or 5 months a year, every year, you do see the same people often enough to keep that bond pretty strong, you know, and people will remember you a lot more. Like, I love the feeling of just simple things like the guy at the corner shop, you know, just recognizing you, just like kind of feeling a sense of belonging, or people like see me rather than just being a transient that doesn't really belong anywhere.
So what's next for you, Niall?
Well, the main thing I'm focusing on now is the course I have. It's called 3 Months 1K. The idea is to help people get started making money online, so they can pretty much do what I did. Even if people don't want to travel, it's, you know, some people want to just be able to work from home or spend more time with their kids, or even in Ireland now, instead of having to move to Dublin for a job, to be able to stay in County Waterford or County Kilkenny or some of the less populated areas and be close to your family and friends and be able to just, you know, log on for a few hours a day from your living room or your bedroom and make a bit of money and doing work that you enjoy, and then be able to do whatever else you want with your life.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm aiming to help people with this course, is to get them started on that journey. The freelance web design has kind of been my bread and butter for the last 6.5 years, but with something like this course, I could actually help change people's lives with it.
Thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe and review on iTunes. Don't forget to visit the website everydaypeople.ie. Please leave a comment. Tell me what you liked. Tell me what you didn't like. There's no need to be gentle. Just be honest. My email address is connor@everydaypeople.ie. You can find me on Twitter @ConnorSweets. If you have a guest idea or a story idea, or if you have a story yourself that you'd like to share, please do get in touch. I'd love to hear from you so we can keep the show on the road. Thank you for listening.